Thank you, Sister Betty. I'm glad that Jesus is a friend.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I want to talk with the parents tonight, if I may, and of course we'll talk with the children some too, but I'm concerned about our families, and I don't think that it takes but really just a casual glance in culture and society in which we live, that it would not raise most, if not all, of our concerns. We seem to be spiraling out of control in this matter of the family. The world's trying to redefine the family. And you know, I find it very disturbing, really, that the world is ever crying, you know, these Christians trying to cram down things down our throats. I've got some news for them. If they would listen, they won't. All they want to do is shout you down. These values were around before theirs. So who's cramming what down whose throat? Yeah. And so don't you ever be intimidated by that. You stand on biblical truth. Now, I'm not saying back someone in a corner and threaten them their life, you know. But don't back down. The Word of God is so. It's going to stand, and you can stand on it, because it's not going to change. These groups keep changing. They keep adding letters to the group names and different things, and I'm not being mean here. I believe y'all love people. Pray for people. Try to get them saved, and really, if you're a Christian, you'll be doing all the above. But now that doesn't mean accepting their sinful ways and sinful lifestyles. You can love someone without loving the vice, the sin, the unscriptural lifestyle that they are involved in. You can still love them. I want to again reemphasize these Ten Commandments. They are they're paramount. They're just so important to us. And I said when I first started preaching these, I said that I don't want anyone to mistake now that you can keep the Ten Commandments and it'll get you to heaven. You don't get to heaven by keeping the Ten Commandments. As a matter of fact, you can keep about 10,000 commandments and that's not going to get you to heaven. Amen. I'm being just as forward as I know how to be on that. I don't want anyone leaving here saying, well, you know, I've got to keep these commandments or I won't make it to heaven. There's only one way to heaven. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's only one way to heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ. If you have trusted the finished work of Christ, if you have received the grace of God by exercising God-given faith, to receive that Jesus died in your place, was buried, rose again from the grave. If you have by faith received the finished work of Christ, the Bible says you have been born again. And if you've been born again, well, you're ready for the next world. Amen. The heavenly next world. So these Ten Commandments were given. They were given initially to a group of people that were going to a new land. They were going to Canaan's land. God knew that they had come out of Egypt's land, and he knew that they were bringing some things with them, and they had some characteristics that had some gods that had crept in among them, and we see that throughout Israel's journey, don't we? We see that throughout their journey. And God said, I want to give you these commandments that you may possess them, that you may know how to possess yourselves as you possess the land. And he said, I want you to teach them. But before he said, I want you to teach them, he said, I want you to do them, and then I want you to teach them, right? And so let's look at that just for a moment as by way of reminder, because as I speak to the parents tonight, I need to be reminded, and you need to be reminded, that in order to really make an impact on our children, in order to make an impact on our grandchildren, on the next generation, well, we have to do more than teach. We have to exemplify. We have to keep these commandments, right? You have to set the example. These commandments are just not for the next generation. They are for us. That's right. And so I believe that part of training is living what the commandments say, and then you can teach through training your children what the commandments are. And so when God says the Ten Commandments that we're to teach them, the first thing he says, and I don't want you to notice in chapter 5, after he gave these Ten Commandments, look if you would in verse number 29. This verse of scripture challenges my heart every time I read it. And when I first began teaching and preaching on the Ten Commandments, we took this verse of scripture and talked about the importance of knowing and keeping and living the Ten Commandments. Look at what he said in verse 29. God said, "Oh, that there were such a heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always." Not just when you're young. Not just when you're in a vulnerable state, or when you're in transition, or when you're an adolescent or a teen or a young married. Always. That means when you get 50 and 60 and 70. Right? These don't expire. And he said, "Oh, that there was such a heart in them, that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it may be well with them and with their children forever." You know, God said, if they could just get it, if they would just understand that I gave these commandments for their benefit, I gave them to help them, I gave them. There just has to be some thou shalt nots and some thou shalts in life. God knew the hearts of these people. God knows your heart. God knows my heart. God knows the heart of man. And he knows that man doesn't want to live by restriction and by limitation and guidelines. Sin has caused man to want to push the limit, to want to push back against limitations and restrictions. And then he said in chapter 6 in verse number 1, he said, "Now these are the commandments, the statutes and the judgments, which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them." So here's the first step, parent. You have to do them. You say, "I want to make an impact. I want to teach my children. I want to be a good parent." Well, be a good example. Don't just have a lip religion, right? Jesus said, "Well has Isaiah prophesied of you, that, you know, with your lips you do honor me, but your heart is far from me." See, I don't live that way, and I don't think you want to live that way. But we have to stay focused, and we have to understand that there's an enemy, and we have this old flesh that'll push back and that'll lose sight of what God is wanting to do in our life, in our own personal life, in our families. And so he said, "I want you to do them," look at it, "in the land whithersoever you go to possess it." Verse number 2 says, "that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou," now here it is, "and thy son and thy son's sons, all the days of thy life, that thy days may be prolonged." He said, "I want you to teach them. I want you to do them, and then I want you to teach them." He said, "I just wish it would be in your heart," in verse number 29 of chapter 5. And he said, "If they ever get in your heart now, you'll do them. You'll do them. And when you begin to do them, then, because they're in your heart and they're a part of your life, you'll begin to teach them. But you see, if they're not in your heart and they're not in your daily practice, they're not in your mode of living, well, then you're going to need somebody to constantly remind you, you need to be teaching your children these things. And that's just not a good thing to have to be constantly reminded of, because your children are growing fast. They don't stay four forever. Somebody say amen with me. It doesn't take long for them to shoot from four. And, I mean, listen, a couple of blinks of the eyes, a few nights sleeping, it seems like they're 16. And so we have to really invest and capture the opportunities in the time that we have. Now, I'm for, and I've said this before, and I'm going to get into some ways that we as parents can raise children that will honor not just their parents, which I think it begins there, but honor authority figures. Because I do think that's something that's missing today, and I think that it has, I just... I believe that it is one of the leading causes of the downward spiral of our country and really around the world. There seems to be no respect, no appreciation for authority figures. And now, and if we're not careful, and I mean this when I say it, if I'm not careful, I'll be speaking out against an authority. I'm always reminded over in the book of Jude, I think it's verse number 9, where Jude said, you know, even Michael the archangel does not bring a railing accusation against Satan. But he said, the Lord rebuke thee, you see. And we just live in a society where there seems to be no guidelines and there seems to be no restrictions about what we say and how we defy authority and how we stand against it and push back. And if we're not careful, it'll spill over in our lives in a spiritual way, and our children will catch on to that. And we don't want that. We want to teach our children respect for authority. We want to teach our children obedience to the authority figures and respect and honor to the authority figures that God has placed in their lives. And so as parents, how can we do that? Well, before I get into that, I want to show you where this teaching begins. I have seen people, and I would not say this was wrong. I have seen people march with picket signs saying, you know, put the Ten Commandments back in the courthouse. You know, put it back in the public square. Put the Ten Commandments back in the schoolhouse. You know, start teaching the Ten Commandments. Well, first of all, I think that would be a good thing. I want to make that very clear. And I hope you will say amen with me right there. If you don't even say amen in church, I'm going to ask you to say it right now. We need the Ten Commandments back in our schoolhouses. And we certainly need it back in our Capitol houses and our White House. Amen. We need the Ten Commandments in the public arena. We need it in the secular arena. But I want to tell you something. When God gave these, if you look at chapter 6, verse number 7, God said, this is where I want it to begin to be taught. See, if we'll teach it here, it'll be carried to the schoolhouse with them. Now listen to me. If we'll teach it here, when they get elected, when we, as God-fearing Christians, do our civil duty and elect the right officials, they'll carry it to the state house with them. See, if we'll teach it where I'm getting ready to show you in the Bible where God initially wanted these commandments to be taught, see, it'll be carried with them wherever they go. Look at verse number 7. He said, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house. God said, I want you to teach these Ten Commandments in your home. I want them to be hanging in your home. I want your children to know these commandments. It's not the government's place to teach your children the Ten Commandments. Amen. Now, if they do, that's not wrong. But the authority, the priority lies upon teaching them in our homes. I pray that you're teaching your children the Ten Commandments. And I want to go beyond that. And I will in the message tonight. Have family altar time. Call your children around. Listen, I believe I could honestly say of all the things that I've fought in ministry, in spiritual warfare, this is one of the greatest fights that I had to fight. And that is maintaining devotional time with my family. But you know what? By the grace of God, I didn't give up. I failed. It's like I got knocked down. I'd get back up and say, we're going to do it again. Right? How many of you know what I'm talking about? You know, you say, we're going to have devotion time. We're going to have Bible reading. We're going to have prayer. And you do it the way you do it. And we'll talk about that in just a few moments. But I can't overemphasize the importance of calling your family together around the Word of God and having a Bible altar time as a family. So what can we do, preacher? What can we do as parents? How can we rear up? Now, I'm not a model parent. I don't know all there is to know about parenting. I'm still learning some things. I look back and I think, my goodness, I made some mistakes in this thing called parenting. But also got some things right with God's help. But I made some mistakes. And you're going to make some mistakes. Or maybe you already have. You just stick with God and say, God, help me, show me. And when you're wrong, be willing to change. When God shows you something, be willing to institute what God shows you from His Word. So I hope you'll write these things down, all right? So number one, as parents, you are to love your children unconditionally. You say, well, that goes without saying, preacher. Yeah, I know that. It should. It should. But it doesn't always. If you're not careful, you'll catch yourself loving your child only when they do right, or when they do the way you want them to do, or the way you think they should do. But we're to love our children unconditionally. Does God love you unconditionally? 1 John 3:1. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Brethren, we are the children of our Heavenly Father. And God, setting the example of how we are to love our children, loves us with an everlasting, unconditional love. And as a parent, I'm to love my children with an everlasting, unconditional love. You say, well, I want to get to the rules. Well, let me just tell you something. Rules without relationship will breed rebellion. I'm going to say that again. If all you have is a set of rules and an iron fist, now please listen to me, and all your children remember is your rules, and they don't remember your love and your relationship, that will breed rebellion. See, the reason that I accept God's rules is not because they're law. Now, they are law. I know God loves me. And I know that God has my best interest in mind. You are looking at a man that knows in the very core of his being that the God of heaven loves me. It is so humbling. I can't hardly say it without getting broken up. God loves me. I can't hardly believe it, but I know it's so. I know it's so. God loves me. You see, our children ought to know that too. They ought to know, my dad loves me. My mom loves me unconditionally. And they want to help me. They want to form me. They want to assist me. And these rules are not to try to take from me. They're to try to give to me. And when we have that relationship, it begins with relationship, not with rules. There's a place for rules, and we'll get to those in a moment. But the first thing, love your children unconditionally. I always think of this. I think about Jesus when he gave that parable in Luke 15. Of that young man who asked his father of all the belongings to him. You know, we call it the parable of the prodigal son. And he went out, and you know the story, how he wasted his substance on riotous living. And when he came back, that father ran out and he hugged his neck. He loved him. He loved him unconditionally. Unconditionally. Now, there's a lot of great lessons that can be taught there. When you love your children, that doesn't mean that you give them all that they ask for. Sometimes love says no. That's right. No is not a dirty word. Sometimes love says no. Love is not giving your children all that they want. Love is seeing that your children get all that they need. And sometimes the need for your child is to be told no. Or you're not going there. Or you're not going with those people. Or you're not going to that place. Or you're not going to get that instrument. Love does that. Because love not only provides, it protects. Amen. And so as a parent, I need to pray and ask God, God, give me wisdom to love my children unconditionally. I wrote down a few ways. First of all, I believe that touch and hugging and say, oh, my children don't like to be hugged. Don't kid yourself. You ought to hug your children. Well, you know, I'm afraid to hug them in public. Somebody might think I'm a pervert. You think I care if somebody thinks I'm a pervert? I'm hugging my daughters? They better stay away from me. Amen. You say, whoa, you turned there, preacher. Hey, listen, I love my children. And I am not afraid to express affection to my children. I tell my children often I love them. I hug their necks. Now, listen, there's a phase that you go through where children say, hey, you know, come on, don't embarrass me, you know. And I would do it double. brethren, hugging and telling your children that you love them, it's very important. There have been studies done, and I'm not going to go into this because we have smaller children in our service tonight. There have been studies done to show that the reason a lot of children, when they get up to preteen and teenage years, the reason they lean toward promiscuity and immorality is because they think that that's the only place they can get that affection is outside of the family. They need to understand that they can get hugs and affection and love in a biblical way, in a proper way, in the family. Say amen with me. And so, dad, mom, you love your children. You say, well, I do, preacher. Well, I believe that. I do. Sometimes it's not that we need to be taught something. It's just that we need to be reminded. Love your children unconditionally by hugging them, by comforting them in times of need. Now, here's a hard one for a parent. By listening to them. Yeah, that was my hard one. And I'm still working on that one. God's still working with me. Listen to them. They just want to tell you how they feel. Right? Just listen to them. Doesn't mean you have to give them the floor, but at least hear them out. Hear why they hurt or what the hurt is, and then you can better administer wisdom or medicine to the need. I think it's important. I think listening is a form of love. I'm glad God listens to me. Yeah. I wrote this down because I read it this past week, and it stuck with me. Listening is one of the finest forms of communication that there is. Do you get that? Listen to your children. A lot of times, they'll talk for 5 minutes, maybe 10, before they really tell you what they want to tell you. But if you'll listen well enough and long enough, they want to tell you something. And if they know you're listening, they'll eventually get around to telling you what they want to tell you. So love them by hugging and comforting and listening. And then finally, praying. Your children ought to know that you pray for them. You ought to pray with your children. Brethren, I thought about it this week. Hell is after our kids. And we got to pray hell off our kids' backs. Hell's after this generation. Are you listening to me? And we're either going to lay down and resign and quit and give up, or we're going to fight. And by the grace of God, I'm going to fight. I'm going to fight for my children and grandchildren now. I'll fight for yours, but I'd like to see you fight for them too. We got to pray hell off their back. This thing's real. Spiritual warfare is real, brethren. This is not a time to divide and to get, you know, all divisive and break fellowship over things that mean nothing. This is a time to come together in unity and fight for our families, for each other. It's important. And so love your children unconditionally. I like what Paul told Titus in Titus chapter 2. He said, would you tell those aged women to teach those younger women to love their children? Yeah. Teach them how important it is. Read it sometimes. It's in Titus chapter 2. He said, I want you to teach those aged women to teach those younger women in your fellowship to love their children. Set that example. Show them how to love them unconditionally. Show them how to love them with an everlasting love. So love them. Number two. Lift them. I want you to turn to Colossians just a moment. Back to Colossians chapter 3. Lift them. In other words, encourage them. Encourage your children. It's not hard. You don't have to look long to find something wrong in your children's life. Amen? As a matter of fact, you don't have to look long to find something wrong in your preacher's life. If that's what you're looking for. And before you get too proud, I don't have to look too long to find something wrong in your life. If that's what we're looking for. I'm for praise. I think praise is good as far as giving praise and, and, and giving celebration to children doing well, but I think we need to understand the importance of encouragement. Children need encouragement. Some man said this. He said, children need encouragement like plants need water. Notice what the scripture says in Colossians chapter 3. Right after it says in verse number 20, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. He said, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Don't discourage your children. Encourage your children. Lift them up. Tell them they can do it, and then help them do it. Right? Yeah. As I said, you'll find enough wrong in their life. Keep looking until you find something right. Amen. And when you do, zero in on it. And let them know. Dad sees the good you do too. Mom sees the good that you do too. I see the bad. God sees the bad. But God sees the good too. And so does Dad. And so does Mom. Encourage your children. Encourage your grandchildren. You know, as we grow older, and we have to fight against this, and if we would be honest, as you grow older, if we're not careful, we'll just get, we'll zero in more and more on the wrong that the young generation does, and every little thing will be just amplified, right? I mean, it'll just be kind of blown up, and before we know it, you know, it's just, we just see all the wrong that the young generation does. But you know what? When we were young one time, too, right? He said, I don't want to hear that part, preacher. Get back to the other part. Well, you know, it's true. I'm not saying excuse the wrong, but I am saying this. If that's all we do is find the wrong in their life, they're going to cut us off before long. Now, you hear what I'm telling you. But if you'll let them know, listen, I want to be fair. I do see the wrong that you're doing, and God sees the wrong that you're doing, and we're going to have to talk about that. But then when you see they do right, make sure you let them know, hey, I saw that too. I saw that too. Encourage them. Encourage them. When you love them, it's easy to do. That's why I started with love. When you love somebody, you look for the good in them. Don't you? Yes, you do. You find the good. If you've got a child that you can't find the good in, you've got a problem. I know that it can get really trying and it can be a test, but children have some good ways about them, some more than others. And so you encourage them. When you find them doing something good, and so you may have to look. Then you encourage it. It's amazing with a little encouragement how that changes the attitude of a child. I've seen it over and over again. And so I want to encourage you to encourage your children. All right? Third thing, before I move on to that, I did have this wrote down, okay? Have expectations for your children. I've said this from this pulpit before, and it boggles my mind how low our expectations are anymore. It's okay to stretch your children. Stretch them out a little bit. Challenge them. Amen. Don't just be okay with status quo. Well, you know, he's average. What can you expect? Oh, I don't know. Maybe he can do above average. Maybe she can do excellent. I don't know. But you won't either until you stretch them a little bit. Put them to the test. Don't just accept, you know, the first thing that comes your way. And so challenge them. Have some expectation for them. Put them to the test. Let your expectations be up here. Raise your expectations for your family and for your children. I talk to folks all the time, say they're Christians. And listen, I'm not being mean here. I'm just being real with you. I think it's killing us, brethren. It's killing us. Folks say, well, you know, my children, they're not that spiritual. But, you know, it's not like they're out here on drugs or anything. Hey, I hope your children never hear you say that. Expect your children to be spiritual. Challenge your children to serve God. Amen. Challenge them to have a heart for the things of God. It's easy to go the way of the world. That's easy. Challenge them to go against the flow. To do something for the Lord. to do something that may bring about a little scoffing, a little ridicule. Don't be afraid to stand for what you believe. Challenge your young people. They're always saying, we want to be a voice, we want to be a voice. Well, be a voice for the right thing, you see. Be a voice for something that matters. Be a voice for something that other people are cowardly about. They're afraid to be a voice about. Be a voice for that. Especially if you say that that's what you believe in your heart. And so you encourage them. Stretch them a little bit. All right? Number three. Number one, we love them unconditionally. Number two, we lift them consistently and consistently encourage your children. And then number three, we limit them responsibly. Now here comes the restrictions and the rules. You have to limit your children. I want you to turn to 1 Samuel. And I'm going to be mindful of the time. Doesn't mean I'm going to stop anytime soon, but I am going to be mindful of it. 1 Samuel, you know where I'm going, right? Chapter 2. You know about Eli. You know about his sons. Now, parents, I want you to listen carefully. You have to set some limitations in your home. I'm going to make a few statements here. I can't run your home. I don't want to. Even if I had permission to, I don't want to do that. That's not my place. But now you're going to have to set some guidelines. There's just some things that should not be viewed on the television. There's just some things that should not be viewed on social media. I did not have to face a lot of what some of you parents have to face. Now, some of us didn't have to face it. Let me see if I... This thing right here... What is it? No. This thing right here gets you in trouble. Now, I'm not saying it can't be good. There's some good uses for this thing. You need to be wise before you give your child one of these things. Understand the ability of this. The access that this can give you and your child before you go handing one over to them. You be real careful about that. I don't think my children would have one of these if it was back in my day. Now, I don't know. I didn't have to face it. I just don't know. But I know enough about this to know this is some real trouble right here. There is access to a lot of stuff with this thing right here. But it's everywhere. It's everywhere. You can go to a public library and pull it up. You can. As much filth and dirt, smut that you could imagine. But you be careful. You set some limitations. Young people need limitations. It builds security. You know what will happen when you put parameters, when you put guidelines, when you put limitations? They'll push back. Now listen to me. If I've learned one thing about parenting, I know this. When you set structure, restrictions, rules, the children will push against them. You're going to see if you'll break. You're going to see if you'll give in. And if you give in, they got you. If you give in, you've hurt them. Because they know that your parameters, your guardrails don't work. They cave in when they're pushed hard enough. So you make sure before you set a rule, you're willing to stand on it. But when you set it, don't move off of it. Now that's easier said than done, but it needs to be done. So you think about before you set a rule. Don't just borrow somebody else's rule and say, you know what, that family's doing that, we're going to do that. Call the family, all right, family conference from now on, and you start laying out all this stuff. You better think that thing through. Yeah. Now I'll tell you, you don't have to think it through if it's in this book right here. If God says don't do it, you don't have to think that through. You need to call the family together and say, we're not doing that. And even if you are doing it, you need to call your family together and say, you know what, Dad hasn't always made the smartest and wisest decisions on this, but God's dealt with Dad's heart, children. And from this day forward, with the help of God, this is the way this is going to be. Now, you'll have to do that from time to time, won't you? Yeah. 2 Samuel there, chapter number 2. There was a man who wouldn't set guidelines, restrictions in his family. He was a man of God. He was a priest. In the 1 Samuel. In 1 Samuel chapter number 2, we have that story. I just want to read a few of these scriptures because I want to get to my final point here. In 1 Samuel chapter number 2, look if you would in verse number 12. Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. The sons of Eli, this is the priest, all right? The man of God. They were the sons of Belial. You say, what's that mean? That means they were rotten. That's what it means. And you go over to chapter number 3 of 1 Samuel, and you'll find where God's telling Samuel this in verse number 13. For I told him that I will judge his house. I'm in 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse number 13. I told him that I would judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile and he restrained them not. Didn't set up any guidelines. He caved in. God said, I'm holding you responsible. So you need to have some limitations and you need to stick to them. All right? Your children need that security. Now, I realize we've got some 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18-year-old young people in the congregation who you think now, and you mean well, and you may not like your pastor for what I'm getting ready to say, but I hope you'll change your mind before you leave here tonight. You think you know what's best for your life, but in many ways you don't. And that's why God put mom and dad in your life. Try to help you sort through this time in your life where you're still filling things out. You're still uncertain. There's still a lot of uncertainties. There's still a lot of things that are unsure in your life. And when you're in that place in your life, God knows you don't need to be making some real serious decisions. You need mom and dad to help navigate you through that time. And so don't you turn a deaf ear to them now. Don't do that. And mom and dad, you be there for them. And when you set those guidelines, don't you back off of them. Oh, please, Dad. Can I tell you, I don't want to get personal here, but my children just never did do that. They tried it once or twice. I just let them know. If you do that again, this is going to have a really unhappy ending. When I say no, I mean no. Don't come with me with that please stuff. If I change my mind, I'll come to you. He said, well, you must have been mean. Yeah, I was. Yeah, I used to think my mama was mean too when I was 15, 16 years old. But I found out something. You're going to find it out too, young person. Now listen to your preacher now. The older you get, the smarter your parents are going to get. Right? Well, when I was 14, 15, 16, I thought I knew more than my mom. Now, my dad was never around. I thought I know more than my mom and my grandma. 14, now 15, thought I knew more than my grandma and my mama. Been around all them years. But that's just the deception that the old enemy will put in your mind. And then you get around 22 and you know they don't know. When I was 15, 16, I didn't think they knew anything. Now I know they don't know anything. But I'm going to tell you, something starts happening around 28, 29, 30. And I'm telling you, the tide changes. Man, maybe they did know something. Right? Come on, you older folks help me out for the young people. Is that right? See, they're not there yet. They're headed that way. And if they'll just do right and Jesus doesn't come, now he's coming back, but if he doesn't come soon, they're headed in that direction. And I want them to hear a testimony from God's people tonight that we've been there. We thought that way too. And it's just not so. It's a lie of the devil. You don't know as much as you think you know. Listen to the voice of wisdom that God has put in your home called mom and dad. Amen. Grandma, grandpa, you need that, you see. And then you get around 30, 35, you say, well, I don't know what I'm going to do here. I better call mom. Let me call dad and see what they think. You see how things change? And then when you get 40, 45, you don't even think about it before you ask them. I wonder what dad would do. You say, well, I'm not going to let my mom and dad run my life. That's not running your life. That's helping you from pitfalls and from snares that you don't have to fall into if you'll just get a little advice and a little godly counsel. Amen. The Word of God teaches it, by the way. The book of Proverbs is full of it. So have some restrictions. Have some guidelines. When they push back, take your stand. Take your stand. They're going to push back. All right? They're going to push against your restrictions, your guidelines. They're going to. You say, well, I just don't think that's right. Well, I'm here again. Look at it. Let's finish up here. Chapter 3, 1 Samuel, verse number 13. God said they made themselves vile. And I'm gonna deal with him, the dad. Why? Because he knew it and restrained them not. Now turn back to chapter 2. Turn back to chapter 2 of 1 Samuel. And let's see what verse 31 and 32 says, okay? God said, behold, the days come that I will cut off thine arm and the arm of thy father's house, that there shall not be an old man in thine house, and that thou shalt see an enemy in my habitation, and all the wealth which God shall give Israel, and there shall not be an old man in thine house forever. God said, I'm going to cut these guys off. And he did. This thing of being disobedient and not following instructions and not bringing yourself under the authority that God's put in your life, God takes it serious. He does. We laugh at it, scoff at it. As a society now, we scoff and laugh at it like it's no big deal. I'll do what I want, you know, and I don't have to answer to anyone. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Okay? And you are going to answer to God. So, you say, well, I just don't know about these limitations, preacher. Well, before we close out here, turn to Proverbs 22. And while you're finding your place with this last point in Proverbs 22, I want to tell you about limitations. Can I tell you that God as a parent had limitations for his children? God said, Adam, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. And this is a great way for me as a parent to learn about limitations. Every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat thereof. I'm going to give you some liberty. But now with liberty comes some limitations. Right? Every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat thereof. But the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat thereof. There's your limitation. For the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. There's a price to pay for breaking my restriction, my rule, for going against my limitation. And you know what happened? Adam pushed back. Adam and Eve, didn't they? Yeah. So don't be afraid to set limitations. Now, I can't tell you the limitations set in your home. I know if it's in the Word. You watch programming that your children watch. There's an agenda out there, brethren. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but it's not because I'm too cowardly to. I've spoke to you about these matters. A lot of programming today is anti-God, anti-Christian, anti-church, anti-Bible. There was one man that was quoted as saying, he was a producer in Hollywood, and he said, I don't want a movie made under my producing, as far as me producing the movie. I don't want one made that doesn't break at least three of the Ten Commandments. So that's the mindset. And you be careful about sitting your children in front of that stuff. You say, well, it's cartoons, preacher. There, some of them just as wicked as that is not animated. Teach the same old filth, same old dirt. And so you be careful now. That's all I'm saying. Just be careful. Not trying to run your life, just trying to help you and trying to get you to think this thing through and about your children. Don't you let them just watch anything. Don't you let them just listen to anything. You be cautious because it's out there and there is an agenda and the enemy's behind it. I want to close with this, Proverbs 22. So we said, love them unconditionally. I believe you love your children. I do. I'm not preaching this to you because I don't think our congregation loves their children. I'm preaching it to you to remind you. Okay, love your children unconditionally. Show them affection. Show them affection. Show them comfort and listen to them and pray for them and pray with them. Have family devotions. Teach them the Word of God. Have family altar time. Love them consistently. Encourage them. Don't discourage them. Encourage them, right? That's what the Bible says in Colossians. Find what they're doing right and encourage it, and then help them to correct what they're doing wrong. Stretch them a little bit. Have high expectations for them. Don't let them do less than their best. And then limit them responsibly. Set some guidelines and some restrictions. It builds security in your children. And I'll say this. Somebody's going to conquer your child's will. It'll either be you, some thug that takes them out. I'm just being real with you. Some lawman that locks them up. Some judge that sentences them to life. Someone is going to conquer your child's will. Set some limitations. Don't fold when they push back. And you conquer it. And let them know I'm doing what's best for you. You don't get what you want. Life's not about you getting what you want. The final thing is lead them exemplary. Train them. Train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he'll not depart from him. That's what Proverbs 22. We are all familiar with that verse in verse number 6. The word there is not teach, it's train. And I'll just say a word about that. Now, I had another point, but we've already talked about that. That's laugh with them. Laugh with your children. We talked about that all last week. Laugh with them. Have fun. Remember the three F's of parenting? Be firm. Right? Be fair. Be fun. You can be firm and still be fun. Right? It's not all about all firmness. There's a time and a season for all things. There's time to be firm. There's time to laugh and have some fun. But let's talk about this training as we close out our message tonight. What are you training your children to do? You know, I don't know a whole lot about a whole lot of different things in life, but I do know a little bit, just a little, and I mean this, just a little bit about playing sports. When I was growing up, I loved playing sports. And I know that in order to get better playing sports, I didn't go in a classroom and take courses. I got out on the field and put what little I knew into practice. I tried to become better by doing it. That's training. You can't sit your children down and tell them everything. Sometimes you have to show them and teach them. You know, it's kind of like you're coaching a ball team. You can't just tell them how to do it. You have to show them. You catch this way. You throw this way. You run this way. You bat this way. You throw this way with you catch. It's not all just about teaching. And I think sometimes we think, well, I'm going to send them down to Sunday school and they're going to learn what to do, or we're going to have a little Bible reading and that's going to do it. No, you've got to get hands on with your children. That word train there means get hands on with them. It means in the bent of the way that they're going. Train them in that direction. But I'm emphasizing the word train here. Train. Get hands-on with your children. Spend some time with them. You say, preacher, this is my children. Yeah, I know. But if you're not careful, you won't spend time with them. You'll be spending time with other people's children. You'll be spending time with the guys or the gals, or if you're a woman, and the adults, and you won't be spending quality time with your children, investing in their life. Invest in your children's life and teach them things that matter. Teach them how to pray. You say, I shouldn't have to teach my boys how to pray. Well, the disciples had to get Jesus to teach them how to pray. Amen? Teach your boys how to pray. Teach your girls how to pray. Teach them how to study their Bible. Teach them to get involved in Christian service. Talk with your children. Say, have you prayed about getting involved in a service at the church? Young man, have you thought about being a junior usher? Young lady, have you thought about singing with the young ladies' singing group? You need to be working with your children and teaching them and training them to get involved in things that's going to benefit their life. If I could name one thing that you ought to teach your children, it would be character. As we stand to our feet, I want to read you something. Of our young people, this is a survey that was done about 3 years ago, 57% of our young people, this is church young people that were polled in a youth group, and it's by youth group, it said 13 to 17 years old. 57% said that they cannot say that there is an objective standard of truth that exists. 57%. I'm not talking about the world. I'm not talking about college, universities, state or secular. I'm talking about church youth groups. 57% said there is no absolute truth. 85% reason that just because it's wrong for you doesn't mean it's wrong for me. Somebody's not getting trained. 55% agree that everything in life is negotiable. Somebody's not receiving training. Don't let it be yours. Train up your children. Spend some time with them. I'm not opposed to popcorn and a good movie from time to time. I'm not opposed to that. But if that's what you consider quality time with your family, you've missed it, my friend. You've missed it. Sit your children down and talk with them about the seriousness of serving God, about the importance of reading the Bible, and then teach them, train them, show them, invest in them, and then take them by the hand and show them how to do it. As we bow our heads tonight, I realize that I talked to a group of people that belong to a Bible-believing church who say, "Preacher, I know those things," and many of you do, but we need to be put in remembrance of these things. And I just want to ask you to consider staying on the firing line, training up your children,